You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
How's everyone going? Good? So good to see you in church today. How well did our worship team do it leading us into the throne room of God? Yeah, give them some love this morning. Such a great job, team. You did good too, Bevan. And Liz. Just, well done. So this morning, I'm going to share a message with you called Seasons of Preparation and Activation. And this year, we've been leveling up in our understanding of what it means to be a disciple and what it means to be with Jesus and do for Jesus as a disciple as well. And today, we're going to look at how disciples are consistently in seasons of preparation and activation. We're going to have a look at Jesus in the Bible and how he did that. We're going to have a look at his disciples in the Bible and how they did that as an example to us to follow. So many of you this year, you may have already said yes to God's plans and purposes for your life. And I just want to encourage you, it's a beautiful sight to see when people say yes to God's plans and purposes. Maybe you're at this moment and you're like, what's God saying to me in this season? What does God want me to do in this season? How does he want me to be with him in this season? I just want to encourage you that God is leading you. God is guiding you. God is directing you into your season for preparation and activation. Who knows that preparation is an imperative when you're doing something new? Oh, it's an imperative. I can only imagine if, you know, I decided that next week I'm going to go for a job at Goldman Sachs and I'm going to be like their main accountant. I'm just going to like sort it. I've like got zero I know how to count like dollar coins. I don't know anything about that. It requires, there's an imperative for preparation so that we can be activated. A couple of years ago, a few guys from church decided that we're going to ride the people's ride at the Cadell Evans cycling event. There's two courses. There's a 60-kilometre ride for people who are adverse to risk and pain. There's a 105-kilometre-ish course for people who are convinced that they're one step away from getting to the podium at the Tour de France. And this was our calling. This was our purpose in life. So we prepared. We rode 50Ks, 70Ks, 80Ks multiple times a week. And we rocked up on the day and we were committed. We were ready. So, so ready. So we thought we were so, so ready. We were fit. We were excited. But as the day wore on, we're like, okay, this is a bit more difficult. And so we committed to being part of the 25-kilometer per hour group. Sounds pretty slow, really, doesn't it? Well, we thought so too. So as we looked down around that 40-kilometer mark and we checked our average speed, we were sitting at 33 and we're like, we are fit. We are so fit and a little bit excited because everyone's got their like, let's win this people's ride. It's pretty much like a fun run for people on bikes, right? It's not a race, but it is a race. We were fit. We were ready to go. But when we made it to the 80-kilometre point, I can only speak for myself with I sort of statements, but I started to taper a little bit. And we got to series and I was like, this is getting hard. There's hills on this course. I hadn't gone further than this before. I'd done 50, 70, 80, but I hadn't gone further than this before. And we got to the final hill, and it's like this 20 to 25% incline up in the back streets of Highton. And I hadn't ridden this road before, and as I got to the bottom of the hill, I missed going down a gear. And then as I'm rounding the corner, a volunteer shouts out, "You're not going to make it, mate. Get off and walk." as he yelled this at me, this deep resolve just sparked inside of me. And I got out of my seat and I grounded it out. I'm like, and as I made it up the hill, as I'm like cycling my guts out and people are walking past me, you think I'm joking, right? I rode up it. I prevailed. See, we made it to the finish line. We completed it what we prepared for, or mostly prepared for in our training. We activated our training, but there was a prevailing moment where we crossed the line because we'd done some work. We wouldn't have made it to the 60-kilometer mark if we hadn't done some preparation to be activated. I share all of this to let you know that 3 years after that, a friend asked me to ride a 60-kilometer cycling event. It was a week out from the event. I'm like, sure, like your riding partner's working. I'll jump in there and take one for the team. Full of passion, this belief that I'd done bigger things before. I'd done the 105 course. I'd ridden from home to the 105 course. But I failed to consider that for 2 months before that, I'd done no riding at all. But I'd done great things in the past. Let me tell you, needless to say, preparation before activation matters. It matters to all of us. If we haven't been in preparation, or we used to do things for Jesus, or it's a while since we've done things for Jesus, it's time to enter into learning in a new season, so that we can be prepared, so that we can be activated. If you've ever done some things before, can I encourage you? It's a new season for preparation and activation. In the New Testament, we catch this glimpse of Jesus being activated. He'd had around about 30 years of activation at this point in time. He was about to embark on setting out to be the Savior of the world, as you do when you're prepared and activated. He was both God and man. He was well-versed in the available teaching of his day and the history of his people. He spent most of his 30 years in training in the ways of God. He was also a carpenter. So at this point, until this point in time, he was a multi-focused employee, both of God the Father and his father, Joseph. And he finishes his first preparation by being baptized by John the Baptist, and then by being sealed by the Holy Spirit descending on him from heaven. At that moment, God announced to the world that this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Luke 3 says it like this, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." See, Jesus goes through 30 years of preparation for this moment, this anointing moment to set out and be the Savior of the world. 30 years of preparation, baptism, anointing to outwork the ministry. And rather than launching straight into it, he goes into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, fasts, prays, is tempted by the devil in Luke 4. It's yet another season of preparation for the activation that God's called him to. One lot of preparation and activation is not enough. We need to consistently be in whatever the next season God's leading us into. What do you need to prepare in me so that I can accomplish what I need to accomplish for you, Jesus? See, in further on in Luke 4, Jesus then goes and preaches and delivers people and heals people. Jesus himself went through preparation and activation. I don't know about you, that's good enough reason for us to also enter into that same way of life. In Luke 5, Jesus calls his disciples, and this is what it says. It says this from verse 1. As Jesus stood beside Lake Galilee, a crowd of people pushed to get closer to him to hear the teachings of God. Jesus saw two boats at the shore of the lake. The fishermen were washing their nets. Jesus got into the boat that belonged to Simon. He asked Simon to push off a little from the shore, and he sat down in the boat and taught people from the shore. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Take the boat out into the deep water. If all of you will put your nets into the water, you will catch some fish." See, this moment, this is a moment of preparation for activation. This is a moment of learning the ways of Jesus, of hearing him, a moment of obedience to the teaching of Jesus. They could have been like, nah, we're really tired. Can you get out of a boat? You can imagine, you've been out all night. And then like some guy just jumps in your boat. It's like, you didn't even ask to come onto my boat. But that's not their resolve. Verse 5 says, Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night trying to catch fish and caught nothing. So he states that we've got a little bit of an internal dialogue right now that we're a little bit frustrated. But you say I should put the nets into the water, so I will. We hear the teachings of Jesus and then we obey them by activating them. At this moment, the fishermen put their nets into the water. Their nets were filled with so many fish that they began to break. They called their friends in the other boat to come and help them. The friends came. Both the boats were filled so full of fish, they almost began sinking. The fishermen were amazed at all the many fish they caught. When Simon Peter saw this, he bowed before Jesus and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." James and John and the sons of Zebedee were amazed too. James and John worked together with Simon. And Jesus said this to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, your work will be to bring people, not fish." It was a moment of preparation for activation. It was a moment of preparation to show the plans that God had for him. What does this look like for you today? What are the moments of preparation that God is leading you into? What's God calling you to step out in faith in? See, this moment with Jesus, learning the ways of Jesus, obeying the directions of Jesus, and let's be honest, even if we don't get it, like, because it made no sense, right? So yeah, just throw your nets out and you're going to catch heaps of fish. It's like we've been out in the middle of the lake and we've caught nothing. Who says that right here we're going to catch? Well, Jesus said. Even when we don't understand it, it causes us to be with Jesus. It causes us to do for Jesus. I want to look at the disciples for a little bit today. The disciples were with Jesus for around about 3 years. And it's from this moment that they went about spending time with him, being with him, observing him, being prepared by him to do the very things that he was also doing. Healing the sick, healing people who were crippled, healing people with issues. And in Luke 6, he teaches them to love their enemies and be careful about criticizing others and to be mindful about seeing the faults of others when we can't see our own. This is the moment of teaching that he has for his disciples. And he helps prepare them for activation by letting them know that there were two different types of people in the world. This is what it says in Luke 6. "The people who come to me, who listen to my teachings and obey them, I'll show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house. He digs deep and builds his house on the rock. The floods come, the water crashes against the house, but the flood cannot move the house. The house is built well." People who listen to the teachings of Jesus and obey them. He calls those people, those who build their houses on the rock, that their faith and belief is unmovable. And there's a second type of people as that scripture continues on. People who hear his words but don't obey them. And the scripture says that they're like a house with no foundation. It's easily broken down and destroyed. See, this preparation and activation for us looks like today, hearing the teachings of Jesus and going about activating by obeying them. And so I pose this question for all of us, but for you who are listening. When was the last time that Jesus taught you something from the Bible and you obeyed him by activating it? So you heard it, you said, "Oh, I should do something about that," and you did. Now, I'm not casting shade today. What I'm saying is, Jesus says people that hear and listen to his teachings and obey it are like people who build on the rock, on the firm foundation. So it could have been about stopping an old practice and starting a new one. It could have been about putting aside distractions and spending time in worship and prayer. It could have been about stewarding your finances and gifts. It could have been about making God Lord over your finances and giving to Him. It could have been about stepping out of your comfort and sharing your faith. It could have been about undoing a decision that doesn't line up with God's will according to the Scriptures. It could have been about entertaining the temptation of the devil and flirting with sin. See, your preparation and activation rely on you listening to the teachings of Jesus and obeying them. That's where we get the fullness that God has for us. This is a picture of a disciple who grows in stature and influence. This is the journey of a follower of Jesus. You know, since Declaration Sunday, which was many months ago now. We're in May, by the way. May? Christmas is just around the corner. Sorry. Since Declaration Sunday, we've been focused on what it is to be a disciple and a disciple who follows the ways of Jesus. And our scripture for this year comes from 1 John 2:6. And it says, those who live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. It's a picture of everything that Jesus was activating, everything that He was walking inside, we want that too, amen. And the last 2 weeks, we specifically looked at what it is to be with Jesus and what it is to do for Jesus. We were looking at Mary and Martha. And today, we're looking at what it means to be in a season of preparation for activation. In a moment, not just yet, I'm going to put a diagram up on the screen. Perhaps you found yourself as a Christian wondering, what is it that I'm meant to do in order to become activated as a disciple? Has anyone ever had that thought before? It's like, I've accepted Jesus as Savior, so what do I do now? And I think maybe sometimes we boil it down to what's my calling. But let's push past that initial thought. So what am I meant to activate in my life as I hear the ways of Jesus? What am I meant to activate by obeying? How do I outwork that? And I want to encourage you that attending church on Sundays is a fantastic start to that journey. But it's certainly not where it ends. That's the beginning, the consistency of joining together with the body of Christ. There are some simple and practical things that should be part of your formation in being a follower of Jesus. So let's put the diagram up on the screen. I want to encourage you that this isn't something that you should take a photo of and like, this is my new theology, this is my patchwork quilt for life. This is just some ideas of things that healthy disciples who are formed well in the ways of Jesus might put in place. It's about helping us visualize. Who's a visual learner? It's more than me, so we're on a good visual learners. And this is simply about us just being able to see some of the key points that are necessary in the journey of following Jesus. This isn't all of them. This is some of them, but one of them is key. Can anyone guess which one it is? Salvation. Excellent. It's key. It's important. Salvation is the key to being restored. It's the key to being forgiven and set free and known by God. Acknowledging that God sent Jesus to earth. He went to the cross, the grave, raised Him on the third day for the forgiveness of our sins, restored us, restored all humanity. This was the whole point of Jesus coming to earth. Amen. To restore us back to God. But as we look at this, As we look at this diagram, there it is, we see part of our discipleship journey of ascent. What do I say discipleship journey of ascent? We are on planet Earth right now, and we are wanting to grow in the ways of Jesus, to implement the ways and behaviors of Jesus. We're going to become more Christ-like, for those of you who are familiar with that terminology. And all of these things help us on that journey. One day we're going to find ourselves in heaven, but we are ascending to be more like Jesus. And we look at discipleship, being involved and regularly attending discipleship. And I'll break that down in a moment. Baptism, following Jesus. Jesus got baptized. I want to get baptized as well. I want to make a public declaration of my faith that I align with Him. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Serving, which involves being with Jesus and doing for Jesus, being involved in a small group where I can be encouraged and grow in friendships and let iron sharpen iron within those small groups. Do growth track, and I'll break that down in a moment. Just be with Jesus. It's my journey of ascent. I need to be with the one who's instructing me. Amen. I need to be someone who learns how to invite and bring people to church and invite and bring people to salvation. Like, that's part of my journey of ascent, to be more like Jesus. Do EHS, which is emotionally healthy spirituality. I'll break it down in a moment. Be someone who learns how to make disciples. Be someone who's being well-formed in spiritual practices and emotional practices and physical practices. But we see on that preparation and activation ascent there, you see the circle with the arrows. I want to encourage you, and I'll break it down in a moment. I want to encourage you. It's not a one-off moment. It's a series of, we level up on our journey of ascent. We level up on our journey of ascent by preparing and activating, by preparing and activating. I'll break it down in a moment. But I want to encourage you with discipleship and small groups and serving and all those things. Put yourself in a place, particularly with discipleship, where your relationships can be sharpened to learn the ways of Jesus. Put yourself in a small group. Attend a discipleship night. Attend church. Attend special meetings. Go out of your way. I get it that we're busy and we need to steward our time well. But if your answer is like 99% of the time no, it might be time to rethink that. How do I plan this out through my week and my year? What do I need to shift around? You know, be on a serving team. Have a pastoral catch-up. Have a coffee with a peer who is activated in something that you're about to learn. We can learn from each other, amen. Serving, join a team. Serve the body of Christ. There is nothing more rewarding than serving the body of Christ, amen. Growth track, what's growth track about? Well, that's about learning how to serve well, understanding why we do what we do, and why we do it. EHS, learning about your emotions and your spirituality, about the way that both of those things are meant to work together for the glory of God. They're not meant to fight against each other. Our emotions and our spirituality and our physical being are not meant to fight against each other. There is meant to be a unison. It's about showing each other how to get there. So I want you to see for yourself today that the journey of ascent involves you engaging yourself in obedience. Obedience to Jesus' teaching, activating the ways of Jesus spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And so I ask this question, again, not to throw shade, for you to ponder the question for yourself. Where are you on the journey of ascent to becoming more like Christ Jesus? What does that look like for you today? Have you pondered the thought before? Where am I on this journey of ascent? Am I in a loop of preparing and activating? Or am I just sort of like, I got saved and I love Jesus, but I just don't know what the pathway is? There is a pathway to your journey of ascent. I want to encourage you in that today. So the disciple journey is one of consistency and being prepared and being activated. How can I suggest that this journey is cyclical, that it visits itself again and again? See, as we spend time with Jesus, we learn the ways of Jesus. It's about being with him, learning his ways, and he shows us how to outwork that. Then as we learn, as we prepare, as we obey, he leads us into a new season, a fresh season of something that he may want us to step into. It could be about the way that we love our kids, the way that we talk to people around us. And there's this moment where he's like, hey, brother, sister, I want to encourage you that this is a fresh moment to be prepared, because I need you to activate something, whether it's in your family, in yourself, in your workplace. See, at no time in our life on earth are we finished listening, learning, obeying, and activating the ways of Jesus. You might have been a Christian for 40 years. Awesome, well done. But at no time in our time on planet Earth are we called to stop listening, learning, obeying, and activating the ways of Jesus. If you've been saved for 4 minutes, at no time in your journey as in faith and ascending to be like Jesus, are we meant to stop learning, listening, obeying, and activating the ways of Jesus. At no time should we stop sharing what we've learned likewise. We should be sharing what we've learned. We should be sharing what we've obeyed. We should be sharing what we've activated from the Bible to help form and shape other believers also. It's about passing it on. You know, there'll be nothing worse if we treated the journey of ascent as a race to win. So I need to level up in this thing of prayer because so-and-so can't do it that well and I just want to have like a spiritual thing over them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not Mario Kart. This is a body of believers journeying together. And we should be sharing the riches of what God has shared with us and vice versa, sharpening each other in the ways of Him. I want to encourage you with that, though. Let's be clear on this. Just a little bit of a teaching moment into that. When you share something with anyone, it should encourage them and point them to Jesus. It should point them towards the righteousness that they now have in them through Jesus. If it points them anywhere else, you've gone the wrong way. If it brings any feeling of shame and guilt and condemnation, you haven't been operating in the ways of Jesus in that moment. See, as someone who believes that they're called to help make disciples, if you ever speak to anyone and it pulls them down, it puts them down. You cover them in that guilt and shame with your words. You put opinions onto them of what they should do or shouldn't do with heavy opinionated direction. You've overstepped your authority. There is but one person who can speak to us about the direction for our lives. It's God the Father. And He'll do it through His Word. He'll do it through His Word. Now, that doesn't mean that we should reject people around us coming to us with encouragement. But the heart in which we bring our encouragement with matters. It matters to God. And it matters to the person that we're helping to form in the ways of Jesus as well. I want to encourage you, don't overstep your authority. Because when you do overstep your authority, and this is going to sound really direct, but it's delivered with sincere love this morning. Deep love from the Father God. The moment we overstep our authority in doing that, you're helping the enemy do his work. Because it's causing division and divisive things within the church, amen? So when we correct each other, it's with love. It's said with love. It's aimed at reminding each other of who we are now in Jesus. Not who we were, not the things that we used to do, who we are now. We are the righteousness of God through Jesus. See, when the enemy attacks a fellow follower, this isn't our cue to pile on with the attack. This is our cue to pile on with love and remind them who they are, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's who you are today. You know Jesus personally, that's who you are. During these times, we learn to be with Him and we learn to do for Him. We learn to be disciples. We learn to make disciples. We hone our spiritual and emotional and physical practices. So my prayer today, and let this be known today, that we spent time since our Declaration Sunday learning about being a disciple who follows Jesus' ways. We've learned about being with Him and doing for Him. But this season that God is calling you to step up in, to level up in on your journey of ascent, is about stepping out into a season of preparation and activation. It'd be fair to say that many of us, we've already been in it. God's already been speaking to our hearts. Hear Jesus teach you in this season. Hear what He's speaking to you and obey what He's teaching you. Step out in it. Those who do this are built strong in Jesus. Challenges come, wind blows, floods come, life crashes into us, but our faith is built on the strong foundation, Jesus Christ. We will not be moved because of our foundation in Him, amen. That's who you are. That's who God's calling you to step out and be. But what if I fail? What if I fall? What if I mess up? What if I don't quite get it right? Anyone have those thoughts go through their head? Must just be me. You might get asked to do something and when you do, it doesn't quite work out or you make a mistake. It's okay. let me show you why in the Bible. The Bible's going to answer for everything. In Luke 10, Jesus has trained 72 disciples who've listened to his teaching. They've obeyed his teaching. And so Jesus is like, you are ready. You are ready to be sent out. And he gives them these really clear instructions about what they're meant to do and not meant to do. And he tells them to heal the sick, tell people that the kingdom of God is near, call them back to God. And then in Luke 10, 17, the disciples return with this. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. It's just like this moment of rejoicing. It's like this was, thank you, Jesus, for sending us out. Thank you for teaching us. We're so glad that we obeyed you. They come back rejoicing and they come back reporting great things. Why? Because they watched, they listened, they observed the teaching, they obeyed, they executed the mission. Why? Because they were prepared and activated for what God wanted. But then in Mark 9, a child is brought to the disciples who needed deliverance, but they couldn't see the boy healed or set free. So they bring the child to Jesus. This is in verse 25, and he takes authority and commands the child to be delivered, and the child was immediately healed and set free. So had they succeeded once and then failed? No. No, it wasn't a moment of success with the 72 and a moment of failure when they couldn't help heal the boy. No, they were prepared and activated the first time. And the second time, it was part of their preparation and activation. So you might be asked to do something and step out and it's like, that didn't quite go how it was meant to go. It's okay. It could just be part of your preparation and activation. See, the disciples came back to Jesus and they asked him, so why didn't that work? Like, we've done this before. Why didn't it work? This is what it says in verse 28. And when he had come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast that out? So he said to them, this kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. It was a teaching moment for preparation and activation for the next time. So why do I share this today? You know, if you try something and it doesn't work, it's not a fail point. I think so often we step out and we do something. It could be at work, could be with family, could be for Jesus. And we're like, I tried it, didn't work, I failed. This life is just too hard. Now, it's not a fail point. It's a moment of teaching and preparation for activation. It's a moment to ascend upwards. It's part of our ascent to be more like Jesus. Learn from it, glean from it, and step into the obedience that God has for you to get ready for the next season. So what does this mean for you today? What does this mean? To listen to the ways of Jesus, to obey them, to step out and be activated. If you succeed, rejoice. If it doesn't happen how you thought it was, it's a lesson for next time. It's okay. Don't let it sit on you with guilt and shame. It's like, oh man, everyone else is so much better at being a Christian than me. Oh no. No, we are all the righteousness of Jesus through our salvation. Amen. It's just a lesson for next time. If it doesn't happen how you thought it would, it's a lesson about how to conquer next time. Treat it as part of your disciples' ascent. I want to invite you today to open your heart, to open your mind to what Jesus can do in you and through you this year. Maybe you've just been treading through life and you're like, oh, you know, I'm so glad that I'm saved, but I just don't know if I can do much more. Maybe I don't have the ability. Maybe I don't have the right charisma. Following Jesus has got nothing to do with personality. Nothing to do with personality. And everything to do with heart for him. He's Lord over our lives. And I just want to listen to him. And I just want to obey him. What can Jesus do in you and through you this year? And I want to encourage you, don't rate it or rank it on the past. Don't be held by the past. Don't be held by the past. So yeah, my past was last week. It's the past. It's the past. Have faith based on who He is and the power of obedience to Him. Powerful things happen when disciples are obedient to Him. Just as we come towards the end this morning, the first thing I want to do is this. To be on a journey of ascent as a disciple, the first thing you actually need to do is know Jesus personally. I can't ask you to do something in ascending to follow Jesus if you don't know Him personally yet. You know, I mentioned earlier that God sent Jesus because He loved the world. He loved you. He sent Jesus, and Jesus went to the cross, went to the grave, and was resurrected on the third day. Why? For the forgiveness of our sin. He is the eternal sacrifice. It's because of Him. And I want to give everybody in this room today and people who are watching online now or later just the opportunity to respond to God's love. To say, I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. I'm living my life how I want to. I'm not happy. I've been searching for all these things and trying to find peace and happiness, and I'm trying to find confidence and boldness in life. Let me tell you, all those things are found in Christ Jesus. It's found in Christ Jesus. Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This is God's promise. If you don't know Him, that you'd be restored into relationship with Him. Set apart, son, daughter of the Most High God. So I'm going to give you the opportunity today. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer of asking Jesus to come into our hearts. The church is going to join us in praying it as well. If you haven't prayed it before, this is your moment to know God personally, be known. If you've prayed it before, but you've been off on your own journey, you've been pursuing what your own heart desires, this is your moment to say, no, I need to get back. I need to get back to the truth. Why don't we close our eyes? Pray this prayer after me. Dear God, I thank You that You sent Jesus, that He went to the cross, He went to the grave, and You raised Him on the third day. I believe it and I confess it. From this day on, I choose to follow You. Forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn to You. From this day on, I'm following You always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.